How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome, you're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Doing good.
Are you psyched? We're getting ready to head out on the ship today, buddy.
I am very psyched. You have no idea. This cruise is going to be, I think, much, and the first cruise was life-changing. This cruise, I think, is going to be almost mind-blowing. I think it's going to be an amazing time.
Very cool. Yeah. Yes, Tim and I are setting sail on the Jericho cruise today. We will be gone until next Friday, and we will be sailing right through the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, folks. So we will document any strange happenings and goings-ons and let you know what we have occur. We're also going to be doing next week's episodes live from the ship, so recorded live on tape to on the ship, and those will be what you get to hear next weekend. We've got some celebrity guests and some great topics we're going to be covering, so I hope you'll tune in and check that out. Today, joining us back on the program, been a few years, Concetta Bertoldi is with us. Her new book, I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It, a Jersey Girls reality show with dead people. Concetta, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure to be back on.
Just so people know, too, Concetta is a full-time medium, and not a bad gig when you have a 2-year waiting list. Plus, you're consulted. You consult for the British royal family, American celebrities, politicians, and you've been doing mediumship. Is this something that's always been a part of your life, or was this something you developed later on in life?
Well, if you don't mind, Dave, I'm going to just correct you on something because my assistant will be very upset with me if I don't. Right now, my waiting list is 7 years, and I don't want people calling and saying they heard it was only 2 years because then they're going to be upset when they find that out. Yes, I have been doing this for the past 20 years. I have always heard dead folks as a child, since I was a child, and I was fortunate because I was born into a family where my father was extremely aware of what was happening. So it enabled my my mother to jump on board, and I was very lucky to be able to keep my ability without being judged.
Were your parents gifted this way as well? Is that why they were so understanding?
Well, my father's father was, which my grandfather, he died when I was 5. But from what I've heard, he was an amazing, very talented man. So I'm going to answer yes to that question.
So this was something then your father grew up around and knew, or did your grandfather utilize the gift, or was it something that they kept quiet and just amongst the family?
Yes, he did utilize it. But, you know, you got to remember the times. It was a different time. And ethnically, he was in a very predominantly Italian neighborhood. So in those days, things like this were viewed maybe not the way they are today, but certainly they were acceptable. So it was word of mouth, and people found out about my grandfather. My father told many stories to me about many folks that used to come to their home, looking for help. So yes. He did use this.
When you dip your toe into this pool and start doing this full time, becoming, you know, a full time medium and deciding to help people, not just kind of keep this ability closeted. Was that an easy decision, just knowing, hey, I've got this gift, I've got to share it? Or
no, Dave, no, it was not an easy decision. And I'm sure you can understand why. You know, in our world, in our society, being different, even today in 2020, it's not an easy thing to step up and announce to the world you're gay, you're transgender, whatever it is. You hear dead people. It's a lot easier, I will admit that. But when I went public, which was about maybe 20 plus years ago now, it was still something that people viewed in some ways unacceptable, or certainly we all know what religious fanatics can do, and they frightened me most of all, to be honest.
The religious fanatics coming at you, was that something that you had to put up with, or were you pleasantly surprised that they were as vocal when you came forward to do this type of work?
Well, it's a long story, and I write about it. Even in my own family, I was, my family was very, very diverse, but there were many family members on my father's side that my father felt were not honest, didn't have a lot of integrity, and so forth and so on. And they became, I don't want to point out what they became, but they became religious, very religious fanaticals. And my father felt like, okay, fine, that works for them. It cleared their slate. But then once they did that, they started to judge me for having this ability. And it really was very, so sad, because it really got in the way of our family dynamics. My father became very protective of me when they started to say things like this was the devil or, you know, whatever. So, yes, it did interfere in my personal life.
Kinchina, why do you think that is, you know, that these gifts that are given, obviously, you know, divining and speaking with the dead were part of the Bible, and many prophets were given that gift. Why do you think that people overlook that fact now now it's of the devil? If you're doing it, you're consorting with the devil, instead of realizing that each one of us is given gifts and utilizing them is the real treasure to that.
And how about we fought for the right to be able to talk to our own, to God? I mean, you know, through the centuries. Remember back in, you know, the Dark Ages, you know, the only ones who were allowed to speak to God or tell us the word of God were those who wore cloths and, you know, were in the abbeys and, you know, things like this. But we fought for the right to be able to speak to God directly. And my husband has something that he says everybody seems to love. You know, he says everybody's been talking to Jesus for 2,000 years and he's dead, and my wife doesn't have the right to talk to her family who's also dead. what sense does this make? So I don't know. I just think that people, you know, there's all kinds of people in the world. But what I want to say to you is this, Dave. It gives me great joy. Everything I do with the ability that I have, I make it a positive. And nothing ugly comes from my work. Everything I want from my work is for people to walk away feeling very good about the other side, the light of God, in that their family is there and that waiting for us and we'll be reunited. This is what I hope to put out there, and I feel very good about it. It's very beautiful. There's nothing negative or ugly that comes from it.
Right. That's the one thing I've always told people too, when they've, I don't consort with mediums or seers because it's against, you know, my religion. And I said, you know, the religions that I know are all preaching about love, acceptance, and usually trying to communicate with God in a loving way. Why would that be any different? Now, if you were getting messages that were like, you know, you're sitting down with somebody and you're like, yes, your husband has to go.
Yeah,
your mom is
exactly
telling you to do this. Yeah, that's a message that's definitely coming from a dark place. But
I
don't know
there.
Any mediums. Right. I don't know any mediums that have ever conveyed messages like that.
Yeah.
So
I would never ever
silly.
Go there. No. Yeah. No. As a matter of fact, my neighbor, whose mother just passed away, just left my house not even 40 minutes ago. And her mother was so excited to tell her she was reunited with her father, and she was saying all these amazing things to my friend who was born in Italy, and I would have no way of knowing the details the grandmother was telling me. But the point I'm trying to make is that people, I think years ago, we were led around like sheep. You know, we were told what we could think, told what we could say, and we really haven't come that far, have we? Because there's still people out there, you know, wanting to tell us what we should be doing, and they want to judge us. And I say this to people, I'm not going to judge you, but if this gives me joy and it gives me peace and happiness, why would you want to take it away from me? What is it about it that makes you feel like you have to destroy that? I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not robbing any banks. I'm an honest woman. I have integrity. What is it about my being able to know that my mother and father and my brother are alive and well in the light of God, and that I can hear them, I can see signs from them? Why does that bother you?
You know, I don't know. I think. This is just my take on it.
Yeah.
You know, being in this show, we do Supernatural News every Saturday, so I have news triggers. And I will get emails every day from Google resources. So I've got things in there like Bigfoot or UFO or alien, right, or paranormal, supernatural. Do you know, Conchetta, that 90% of the emails I get regarding alien are about illegal aliens? I know that's not the politically correct term, but that's what they're still using in a lot of these articles. Illegal aliens that are murdering people. Now, does that mean every illegal alien is a murderer or a criminal? Or no, they're looking for a new life. But you see these things, that's what sticks in your mind. Oh my God, crime, bad things going on, you know, going. So unfortunately, I think what a lot of people hear is they hear of the Miss Cleos.
Yeah.
That do fake accents and are fleecing people for their money.
Right.
And you hear of, you know, this medium, you know, overcharged your clients $1.5 million this last year.
Did this.
And then all they do is they bunch you together without realizing that nobody's complaining about you. Nobody's complaining this. They put these parameters on people because of something, you know, it's guilt by association. Other people in your field that are unscrupulous, but they seem to forget that every business has unscrupulous people doing stupid things and taking advantage of good people. That doesn't mean everybody across the board is doing it. And I hope people will take a deep breath and relax and think about that next time, instead of mouthing off about how mediums are fakes and charlatans. Tim and I both came into this as skeptics where it came to with mediums. When we started the show 14 years ago, we were very skeptical. We've certainly lightened up considerably over the years because we've just seen too many incredible things.
Mm-hmm.
Too many. And all of it leaves you, even when you're watching Conchetta give a group gallery reading and she's connecting for somebody else, it's emotionally powerful for you to see this connection made. I just hope people will take a deep breath and relax when it comes to that. And that you're right. We've come into a new age. It should just become accepted as part of our world. Everybody touts this idea that there's a change coming and an evolution and revolution and, you know, in humanity. Well, it could be that these gifts are coming to light and we just need to start to accept that.
Well, okay. I would like to say, first of all, the reason for these people and their negativity is all based on fear. It's all based on fear. And if you think about what's going on in our world today, most of it is based on fear. Okay. So number two, when you go by my reputation, just investigate it. I mean, do the research, see what people say, and then base your opinion. Better yet, come to one of my events. See what happens in one of my events. Now, you said Tim and you yourself were skeptics. Well, I can say not only do I understand that, but I married one. 37 years ago, when I got married, my husband told me, I hope you don't mind, I'm an atheist. Now, can you imagine me with an atheist? That was like, what? What am I going to do with an atheist? But here's how it goes. Just like yourself and Tim, I'm sure you're very good men and you have honesty and you go about the world doing the right thing. Well, I married a man just like yourself. And here's the thing. He's been with me a long time and he too will tell you he has seen way too much. But he's a very scientific man. So for someone who's very scientific, it's very difficult for them to see the spiritual world because they go everything scientifically. But my husband, he will tell you things, and I can tell you things. I've written about him in my books that he has experienced. Everything in my books is true. I've written it, all said by me. I didn't have a ghostwriter, if you excuse the pun. And honestly, he has seen way too much with it not to have left him being completely blown away. But he still is who he is, and he needs more scientific whatever. But I could tell you stories that are amazing, utterly amazing, that he witnessed. And he still walks away going, wow. So now he'll say things like, I know my wife's not a liar, and I know she's not making this up. My only problem is I just don't know where it's coming. I don't know if it's God who's telling her. I just don't know where it's coming from. But that's okay, because I respect him. And that's the key word here. He loves me. I love him. And I respect him. And I am who I am. He enjoys who I am. And we do just fine. Thank you very much. But that's what I think the rest of the world should do. Respect other people and respect their opinions. You don't have to be beating anybody up just because they don't look like you or are like you or have the same religion as you or so forth and so on. You know, everything has something beautiful to bring to the table. And that's how I feel.
I like it. Sounds good to me. Well, let's, you know, and when Tim and I started this, again, just because we had heard of all the charlatans out there that were taking advantage of people, that's why we were very cautious. And I got to tell you, Conchetta, when we began the show 14 years ago, before we opened the phone lines and allowed people to call in, we actually set callers up. So we knew who the callers were going to be that were calling in to speak to the medium. We wanted to hear and get a feel for ourselves. You know, this wasn't a setup. Conchetta didn't have five of her friends at the ready to dial in so she could sound like a hero. You know, it was one of those kind of things. And we put, you know, Robert Baca, Chip Coffey, even Marianne Winkowski through those hoops of they talked to people that Tim and I knew specifically. So we knew their story. We knew if she was getting things right and or was off. And it blew our minds to watch this unfold. And then sometimes the readings that would come through for Tim and I, and at the beginning of our careers, before we had been so open on this radio show and sharing about our lives, it was pretty alarming to have somebody, oh, by the way, Dave, you know, blah, 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 or Tim, your grandfather's here. He's messing with the light next to your couch. And there's no way to decry that. How do you, that's nuts.
Right.
So obviously these people are in touch. And that's why I said, although we're always healthy skeptics, we've come to appreciate and respect the work that mediums do. And I've often said this, like you said, you're not hurting anybody. Why does it matter? I've seen a medium in one gallery session do more for people in the audience than 12 years of laying on a therapist's couch and try to fix things, because they make that connection and they get the answers that they wanted. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's an amazing ability and task. I've got to ask though, Conchetta, the book, I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. Mm-hmm. Obviously a play on Katy Perry's song, but talk to me a little bit about that. Why that title? Did you in fact kiss from the spirit?
I certainly did. First of all, it's my fourth book. So you have to understand every time you write a book, you have to have something inside the book that goes with the title.
Right.
And the first book was called Do Dead People Watch You Shower? Because we took a poll of folks and their questions they would ask if they could, if they were talking to a medium. And the most top five were just always cracked us up, because people were obsessed with worrying whether, you know, their dead relatives saw them in the shower, saw them in the bathroom, saw them in the bedroom. And, you know, it came down to they don't mind if God watches them. They just didn't want their grandmother to. But when I wrote this book and I named it that, was because I was reluctant for years to tell people things about myself that might make them change their mind about me. I've always told people openly, I'm a human being. I have the same faults and flaws as anybody else. But for some reason, I'm very, very grateful. I know the dead exist and they're in the light of God. Okay, so that said, I still was reluctant, you know, to tell things that I had done that I was ashamed of. And over the years, I've gotten older and realized I shouldn't be ashamed of it. It's all part of life. So in this book, I wrote things that happened to me that people might be a little shocked at, but I figure it's my fourth book. I'll take a shot. So I did write about the fact that I got caught shoplifting one time when I was 28 years old. I did write about one time when I was 15 years old. I dropped out acid with my best friend, Mushy. I mean, these are things I would have never told anyone early in my career for fear that they would have been turned off to me.
You got to stop there for 1 second, Conchetta. Yeah. We're going to go back into this, but now I need to know.
Okay.
You dropped acid with a friend. With your abilities, dropping acid, what happened to you? That has to be insane.
It wasn't good, Dave. You got to read the book. But it's so funny because when I talk about it in person, I actually sound like a stand-up comic. Because my girlfriend, Mushy, who has no ability of hearing dead people at all, and we've been best friends for over 50 years, she was having a good trip, so to speak, and I was having a very bad trip. And we went to a movie theater. We were like 15. We were supposed to meet these two boys, and they never showed up. And when I tell you everything, I couldn't tell the difference between who was dead, who was alive, and the things that were happening, you know, like the man behind me and the seat behind me was eating popcorn. It sounded like he was crunching on boulder rocks. And it was horrific when I turned around and looked at him because his face was all distorted. I mean, it was actually a very horrifying. I learned early on that I was not a candidate for the drug era. I was not going to be the girl who was going to be smoking pot and doing drugs because my mind cannot be in any way compromised with any type of drugs because it gets ugly immediately.
Oh, and I've got to guess with LSD, with acid, that has to be worse.
Well, you know what it was? I mean, to be honest, I was 15 years old. I didn't know anything. I was so young and naive. And, you know, everybody at that time, they were all smoking pot, who was doing what, you know, and you just wanted to be cool. You just wanted to be one of the kids. And I remember, you know, thinking I smoked pot one time and it had no effect on me. And I figured everybody must be making this stuff. So I'll just go along with it to be cool. I was 15. And this kid who gave us the acid, it was on a little, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was on a little tiny, teeny, teeny, tiny top, a piece of paper, like a felt paper, no bigger than a little tiny drop. So you looked at it at 15 years old and thought, what could that do to you? I mean, it's just so tiny. You're not mature enough to understand anything about metaphysics. So you just put it in your mouth and swallowed it and thought nothing of it. Well, that was a mistake. That's for sure, because it might as well have been a stick of dynamite. But that is one of the things I did, and I wrote about that story. But as far as I kissed a ghost, I had two sexual experiences with two different ghosts, and they were around 15 years apart. The first time was I was in my home, and we lived in a different place I live now. And I was in bed, and in the middle of the night, I'm sound asleep, and I woke up to pressure on top of me, and I smelt foul smell, disgusting, and I felt the pressure of somebody, you know, like you would think I was engaged in sex, and my husband was sound asleep and he doesn't smell, so I knew it wasn't him. So I was slowly waking up to realizing I was being forced into this encounter, and immediately I could feel the ugly. I knew the sense of whatever it was extremely mean and negative and sinister. So I took my hands, like I was sleeping in a position where my hands were like by my shoulders. And I went to push with both my hands as if I was pushing something off of me. You know, you go to push something off of you.
Right.
And I felt the energy put itself around my wrist and restrain me by holding down my wrist
so that
I could not push. Yes, the person off of me, and it was violent. And the amazing thing through all of this, you must understand, is that my husband is laying right next to me, not sound asleep, not knowing a thing of what's going on. And I'm laying there struggling in total panic and fear, but knowing that it is an energy and a spirit. So I remembered what I was taught. This happened too, by the way, before I went public with my ability, but I was taught by my father early on how to protect myself from negative energy. And this is what I did. if you call God into anything when you are in presence of evil, they're afraid of God, and God is the big guns in town. And you would be amazed quicker than a New York minute, or second, I should say, your protection of God is right present and with you. So that's what I did. I was laying there, and but it takes you seconds to think to do that, because your first reaction is to act in the physical form, to like, oh my God, let me get out of here and push this person off you. That's your first reaction in physical form. But I slowly came to my senses in my mind that, all right, call God. And that's just what I did. I said, in the name of God, be gone. I command in the name of God. Well, before I could even finish it, and by the way, I didn't say it. All I had to do was think it, because they can hear your thoughts as well as hear your voice. So I'm thinking this in my mind, screaming it. And before I could even finish the thought of what I was saying, in the name of God, be gone, boom, it was gone. But so this all took a matter of, I would say, minutes, but yet it was an experience that was just incredible, absolutely incredible, never to be forgotten. And so now,
Conchetta, what do you believe that that was? Was it a disincarnate ghost, or do you believe that it was something demonic?
Yes, both.
Both.
I don't know which one, but both, because what you must realize is that there are words like disincarnate souls. Or walking the earth. You know, these are reasons they call souls that. And here's the reason. When we die, our body, which will be called the remains once we leave it, the soul, the spirit, the energy contained in it, which I like to tell people we're like in a Tupperware container, comes out of it. And immediately we are confronted with a choice. Choose God or turn your back on God. Choose God. Now, there are reasons why, I don't know why, but people have their own reasons why they would turn their back on God. Maybe it's fear of judgment. Maybe there's things they're afraid they have to face. They might be punished. Who knows? All I know is that my choice is going to be, I choose God immediately. And I tell everybody in my work, choose, always choose God every day of your life. Never be afraid of God, and so forth and so on. Anyway, those souls who do not choose God immediately become discarnate souls, walking the earth kind of thing. They have words for it, you know. But that soul, whoever that was, I don't know exactly what his problem was, but I do know that it was an evil soul and did not choose God, because it would not be doing that. Now, Dave, let me ask you one thing.
I will in 1 second, but then I just want people to understand that Conchetta, I've heard stories of physical connections by ghosts for years. Obviously, we've done the show for 14 years. You know, the brush by, things like that I can get. I just could never understand any kind of force being used on people by a spirit. I couldn't compute it until this last year when I was at the Whaley House and something physically tackled me.
What's the Whaley House?
In San Diego, it's known as the America's most haunted house. And it's a crazy place. And while we were there, I got literally knocked on my ass. Something
I believe you.
Hit me, lifted me, and slammed me into the guy next to me. That is an alarming moment when you feel that, and I mean, you were violated.
Hello. And I'm glad, I feel bad saying this to you, but I'm really glad you had the experience. Because now I know you believe me. Because people who don't experience these things, you know, they have a really hard time believing these things can happen. So I'm sorry that it happened to you, but I'm glad it did. Because now you know I'm telling you the truth, and I am. And until you experience things like this, we walk on earth the way we're supposed to. We're here in human form. We're stupid. I don't mean stupid, but, you know, we're so limited. Let's put it that way. We're so limited, and we're so focused on what's going on every day, yesterday, tomorrow, next year. We don't stop really on a regular basis, most people, that is, anyway, and think about the spirit world being in the air we breathe at every moment. Air is spelt A-I-R. I always tell people it stands for always in reach, because they're always within our reach. But we're so consumed in what we have to do, where we have to go, and our material things, and we just lose sight of what is really happening while we're here having this experience. That is for sure. And it isn't until something happens do people start to search for more answers. But that's okay, because God sent us here for reasons and purposes. We just have to trust. I always say we didn't come to earth to be perfect. We came to earth to be faithful, faithful to God. And I don't care what religion you are, as long as it's based on love and respecting other people, I'm good with it. Now, I want to tell you this, Dave, because this is the other half of I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. Do you want to hear it?
No, we brought you on the show to talk about Maury Povich.
Okay.
Yes, I want to hear it, Conchetta.
Okay, so here it is, darling. Picture it. I'm sleeping. It's 15 years after that first bad experience. I'm in bed again with the same man I'm married to for 37 years. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I realize I am engaged in what seems and feels like one of the most sweetest love. It was so based on, it was just absolutely beautiful. So good that I remember waking up slowly and realizing that I was engaged in something that was absolutely euphoric. And it was more than just the physical. It was something connecting me to a love and energy that was so sweet, so kind, so caressing, so completely complete, that I remember laying there thinking to myself, oh my God, this is just beautiful. I don't want this to end. And I remember thinking that, I don't want this to end. Please stay. And then as I'm now almost completely awake, I remember thinking to myself, I don't know who you are, but are you busy tomorrow night? I mean, and I remember thinking when I woke completely up, saying to myself, my husband's laying next to me, this guy was dead. Could that be really, you know, counted on as cheating? Because it was the most beautiful, sweetest thing. And I said, for me to have said, what are you doing tomorrow night? I was like, I don't know. But then I thought to myself, oh, what the heck? It was so fine that I said, I hope you come and see me again. Well, I will say to you, I never experienced it again, though. It was one and one time only. So I don't know what that was. But I have, since years of, you know, my work and studying and looking for answers myself, I've come to the conclusion, I should say, more than likely it was either one of a couple of things. It was either a soul that I've loved before in another lifetime, or it was just a beautiful soul who possibly loves me. Either way, I don't mind, because it was beautiful. And I said, may God bless you, because it was so sweet. And that was the second. So there was a good one and a bad one. So when I titled the book that's why I gave the book that title. And I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It. It was for the second time I had to say I liked it. Mm-hmm.
That's
and there you go.
That's remarkable. Now, your husband, does that bother him that every 15 years you're getting a paranormal booty call?
Yeah, not in the least. Not okay. In the least. He is such a... Fortunately, I married the right guy. See, I really believe that God knew what he was doing when I came to this side of the veil. Let me just say, I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I do like myself a whole lot. But I've got a very an outgoing personality. You know, it really is true that I enjoy entertaining the troops with my Marilyn Monroe impersonations and Mae West and all that stuff. But I had a hard time when I was young dating, because most of the men that I dated were very, very jealous of my outgoing personality. And forgive me for saying it bluntly, I was a very attractive young girl. So you put those things together. If you don't go out with somebody who's got enough security within themselves, there's going to be a problem. Well, I happened to marry the right guy. He's got enough self-confidence for himself. He knows exactly who he is. And, you know, we're really good friends, too. So he knows exactly where I'm coming from. So, you know, but again, when I first met him, I was raised, you would have thought she was a Southern belle. My mother called everybody honey and babe. Okay, hun. Okay, babe. So that was the way I spoke in the beginning. And he was raised by a pack of wolves. So he never, you know, that was just something they didn't do. It took him a while, you know, to get over that, because he used to say, well, you call everybody honey. And I would say, yeah, so what? It's like for me saying thank you when I go to the deli, you know, it just comes along with the program. Well, now, if you saw my husband, he does that. Okay, hon. All right, babe. He picked up all that. So, and he said to me one time, I realized your way was better than my way in the way you treat people. So, you know what? It all worked out really well. He's really secure. Thank God.
Concetta Bertoldi, our guest today, before we continue our conversation, I'm addressing this to you, my loving audience. Do you experience stress? How about anxiety? Chronic pain? How about this? Have you had trouble sleeping at least once or twice a week? Well, you're not alone. Many of us do, including the two guys that host this show. I've been dealing, as I've been open about this on the show, with anxiety, depression, and insomnia and sleep issues for as long as I can remember. I've tried just about everything, every over-the-counter and prescription medication. I've tried some of the holistics. Nothing seems to work for me. It just doesn't stick. It doesn't help until I found Feels. I was searching for anything that would help. And Feels is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. What does Feels do? Well, it feels naturally, and it helps you release and reduce your stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. I've been dealing with the trouble sleeping because of my screwy hours, being up till 2 o'clock in the morning doing a radio show, not being able to fall asleep till 3, sometimes 4 in the morning, then having to get up early to get kids off to school. My sleep schedule is a mess, so it's hard to come down quickly. I know now that if I take a drop or two under the tongue on nights when I know I'm going to be wound up, it helps me to relax and makes me feel better, brings me into a more peaceful environment, and it can help you too. So take a few drops of Feels under your tongue, and you'll feel the difference within minutes. Are you new to CBD? Well, Feels offers a free CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. You're going to feel better naturally. Feels actually works naturally to help you feel better, so there's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. So join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your door every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/darkness, F-E-A-L-S, feels.com/darkness. You're going to get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/darkness to become a member and get your 50% off. Stay tuned. We will be back. We've got Concetta Bertoldi and I Kissed a Ghost and I Like It right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Expeditiously with Tip T.I. Harris is starting off the new year with two amazing episodes that you won't want to miss. First, he's talking with Taraji P. Henson, star of Empire, about her career in film and television. Then Tip sits down with Mike Tyson for a no-holds-barred interview that is both hilarious and informative. Be sure to subscribe on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the program. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy over there, Tim Dennis, board monkey par excellence. And today, joining us on the show, it's been a while. We had her on for her first book, Do Dead People Watch You Shower? And other questions you've been all but dying to ask a medium, Concetta Bertoldi, her new book, I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It, a Jersey Girls reality show with dead people. Concetta, again, great to have you back with us. Thanks a lot for being here today.
Thank you both very much.
So, you know what? Can you just, for people that might have missed the show we did with you a number of years ago, do ghosts, especially our relatives and things like that, do they watch us when we're in compromising places, bathrooms and such?
I'm sorry. I just find it so entertaining. Of course. Well, here's what you want to know. God watches you everywhere. You would agree that God, if you believe in God, that is, God is everywhere and sees everything. Okay, so now somebody dies, they choose God. The energy that is passed away becomes one with the spirit of God. So just like God could be everywhere at the same time, this energy can also now become one with God and be everywhere at the same time. So yes, they can see us, but they understand the human form. They understand what it's like, what the condition is like, the stress that comes with it, the pleasure that comes with it, the aggravation, the responsibility, so much choices. They understand all of that. They are not judging it. That's where we get confused, because we are in human form and we judge everything. And we're constantly consumed with the human form. You know, my back hurts today. I'm going to go work out at the gym. There's so many things that come. We're constantly conscious of our physical body, and we're judging it, and we're judging everybody else's. That's the amazing part. If we were to be honest, we're judging everybody else's conscious, their body, our body, and, you know, and what comes along with it. Now, try to imagine you're in the spirit form and you don't have any of that judgment anymore. You don't feel those things anymore. It's just so hard to understand because we're so consumed with where we are right now and what we're doing right now and what form we're in right now. And the truth is, the answer is, yes, they see us. They don't care. They don't see it the same way. They're not a bunch of peeping Toms the way we would be if we were peeping through somebody's window.
You say so that, Jenna, but why are they hanging out in the bathroom? That just seems like an off-limits deal, whether they're affected or offended or not. It's weird.
They're not hanging out, honey. That's like saying, why is God hanging out in a peep show in New York City? In one of those little hole in the walls. Why is God hanging out in there? It's not that God is hanging out in there. God is everywhere. They are able to be everywhere. You have to lose your understanding of the way you are viewing the form you are in today. Yeah, it's almost impossible to do, by the way, because you're in this form. And you're working every day in the physical world. So it's almost impossible to do. And I've asked these questions of the dead, and many more questions I've asked them, because I want these answers. I want to understand these things. I want to know, because first of all, I want to know what risks I'm taking. If I'm in every single part of my life, I want to know, is there a risk in this? So I ask a million questions. And the best I can tell you and the best answers I can tell you I get are not being given to me that I completely understand them either. So I openly admit I don't understand the answer completely. I'm doing the best I can to put it in human form, in layman's ways, I should say. Layman's form to make somebody understand. And I'm sure there's somebody who could do it better than I can, but I understand it on the simplest terms, that as simple as I can say, we're going to have a hard time understanding it because I'm still looking at it through the eyes of the flesh and not through the eyes of being in spirit.
Right.
You know?
Fascinating. All right. Yeah, I know we've come upon a lot of stories and locations we've gone where there are ghosts and things hanging out in bathrooms, and it's been weird. People are like, why? I said, I have no idea, other than if it was a kinky ghost in life, I guess it's a kinky ghost in death. It's very unusual. Can I ask you something, Conchetta? Let's dive into this, if you don't mind, because this is a question that baffles all of us in the paranormal field. Why is it that there does seem to be something in our closets. I mean, people are reporting to us, not just little kids who have fears, but adults and people from every walk of life that have contacted Tim and I to tell us there is something in their closet and they're 100% sure of it. They've seen it. They've heard it. What's going on?
Well, you know, darling, I don't know that it's necessarily the closet per se. It might be that's where there's a very thin vortex and it happens to be by a closet. I don't think that they decide, well, we're just going to pick a closet. And the reason why I say that is because I've traveled around the world and I've had experiences with spirits all around the world. And the closet has never been an issue. It's never been like a favorite place for me to contact a spirit, quite frankly. And I just know there are some places where the vortex is, for some reason, is thin and it's easier for them to be active. I mean, I've always wondered that too, because I've talked to a lot of paranormal investigators who tell me they've gone to places where there are basements and dungeons and things that are below the earth, and that they got more sinister in that environment. And I mean, I don't sit back though and say, well, that's because it was those places. I know that there's reasons why energy, there's two things. There's reasons why energy is absorbed. So if you're eating garlic and you're having a big pasta dinner with garlic, the kitchen's going to reek of garlic, number one. Okay, you go upstairs to the second floor, you can still smell the garlic, but if you go down in the kitchen, it's where it's really, really pungent. So the way I explain it is that there are some places where it's absorbed and lingered and still manifesting. For what reason? I don't know. I really don't have all those answers, but I do know it's possible that there are souls that are still, a prison where there were horrible atrocities. And the energy is still there, very present. I'll give you an example. I always wanted to go to a concentration camp and visit one, because in a past life, I completely believe that I was murdered in a concentration camp. So I've had this fixation all of my life. So finally, I got to Germany and I went to Dachau. So when I got to Dachau, when I travel, to make this as short as possible, I always wear this necklace. I have dear friends in Mexico City, and one gift was given to me. It's the Saint Juan Diego. It's 14 karat gold on a 14 karat gold chain, and I wear it always when I'm traveling. And it's just a comfort and gives me peace. Okay, so I am now in the parking lot at Dachau, and I go to get out of the car. For any of your viewers who have ever gone to Dachau, if you go there today, it almost looks like a playground. I mean, it's all cleaned up. You wouldn't really understand the atrocities and what it looked like in 1941, 42, 43. You wouldn't, because it just has a parking lot. There's a wall around the camp. You can go in the camp. The barracks are now gone, except for they have one barrack, but they have the foundations on the ground where you can see where the others were. They have a building that was built, that the prisoners built, where the Germans had offices in there, or what have you. Anyway, so you go through the gate, and the gate says in German, "Work shall set you free," and you pass through those doors, and then you walk to the back. And there is a crematorium, but like I said, it's cleaned up. So you have to really use your imagination to remember how absolutely horrific this place once was. Okay, so now I'm back, and I get there. I'm in the parking lot. John and I get out of the car, and I go to get up out of the car, and my whole body goes into like a shake, like I was in an electric mixer. And it's violently shaken. And my husband said, "What's the matter?" And I'm just completely, something is just taking over that I can barely function. And I'm just standing there looking at him, and I'm having a hard time even speaking. And he's saying to me, "Conchetta, what is the matter?" And now he is so concerned, he puts both his hands, one on one arm, one on my other arm. And he's just looking at me. And I said, I don't know if I can go in. I don't know if I can go in. So he says to me, honey, we have all these years talked about someday visiting one of these places. It's been something you've asked me to make happen. We are now here. We are never coming back. So it's now or never. You either go in and fulfill this thing you've always said you wanted to do, or you miss the opportunity. What is it you want to do? And he's looking me right in the eyes. And as he is looking me right in the eyes, the necklace that I wear, which is a 14-karat gold chain with a great clasp, falls directly to the ground like somebody unlatched it. Boom, right to my feet. We both look down at the ground. He looks up at me and he says, holy shit, what was that? And then I listen and I hear them say to me, just hold this close. You'll be all right. So they were letting me know that I was walking into a place that obviously had energy that was still, after 60 plus years, much more than that, that the energy was still lingering there, but that I should hold the light of God close to me and that I would be safe and protected. So I did tell him that. I picked up my necklace, and instead of putting it on, which, by the way, who knows how the hell it fell off, but I walked into the camp. But as I walked into the camp where all of this atrocities had taken place, I could then visualize things. I started seeing all of these flashbacks. I knew where the commandant's office was, which, by the way, was no longer there. There was only a teeny tiny little piece of the railroad track still left. The rest of it was gone. But I was walking around, and there was a woman who was walking around the camp, too. She had to be in her 80s, and she saw me. I was visibly shaken. And she said to me, are you all right? And I said to her, no, I don't think I am all right. And she said, was your family here? I said, I don't know. I mean, what do you say? I said, I don't know. So she said, oh. And then she said, well, it doesn't look like it did in 1945. And I said, what? You were here? And she said, and she went on to tell me that her husband was a lieutenant or some big corporal, whatever his rank was. He was sent there by the United States government. And she said he was stationed in Dachau, and he had to go to the camp every day to interrogate the German soldiers. And he used to interrogate them from the commandant's office, which she then pointed to used to be right over there, which I had not only told my husband not even 10 minutes earlier, that's where there was officers building was right there. So now she is now confirming that that's where the officers building was, and that's where her husband had to go to interrogate these German officers. And she then went on to tell me he was in his early 20s. They were young and they were married, and that he sent for her because he couldn't, his mind was being completely crazy by witnessing what he was witnessing every day. He needed some normality, so he sent for her to come and stay in an apartment in Dachau, which was the little town, and he would go to her every night. And she said he was visibly shaken every night because of what he was and understanding what happened there. So my point to you is that the energy of whatever the horrors were are like, the only way I know how to explain it, like frying garlic. If you've ever fried garlic, it's intoxicating and it stays in your home and it lingers. And, like I enjoy it because I'm half Italian, but the point is it's the same thing with energy. It lingers. And I'm assuming that if it's an ugly, mean, negative, evil energy, it still lingers. So fortunately, the souls that were murdered there have moved on to a beautiful place. But I'm to assume that the ugly pieces of crap that chose to hurt humans there are still somehow lingering there. So that's what I can tell you I experienced. And I have experienced that on many of my travels. I love to travel. I love to go to places where history took place because I do see and get visions and witness a lot of things.
What do you channel spirits as well?
Well, I can't muster up Elvis, if that's what you mean, but I can tell you that if I were to meet Priscilla, I would get Elvis right away. I mean, one time I was working in the mainstream and Joe DiMaggio walked into our office. Well, he didn't just walk in. We were told he was coming. And I was a receptionist. And my husband always says, you know, my wife used to take calls from the second floor. Now she takes calls from the top floor. But anyway, so Joe DiMaggio walks into the building. And we were told, do not mention Marilyn Monroe to him. He will walk right out the building. He was not really a very nice man. And, you know, they gave us that instruction. So when he came in, I was told I had to bring him to the conference room and I had to get him coffee. So I did. When he came in, I shook his hand. Mr. DiMaggio, nice to meet you. Can I get you some coffee? Will you come with me? As I did that, Marilyn was standing right in the, immediately was calling out to me. And she was telling me, please tell him. He'll know it's me if you tell him the stone is missing. Just tell him that. He'll know. And I couldn't tell him because if I did, first of all, I would have got fired. Second of all, he would have walked out. So there was no way I could tell him. And I felt terrible because I really, really love, I'm a huge fan of Marilyn Monroe. But anyway, long story short, about maybe 3 years after that experience, Marilyn Monroe's artifacts were at Sotheby's. Paula Strasberg had custody of them. And she died, and all of Marilyn Monroe's things were going to be auctioned off. So I have a cousin. The two of us are huge fans. My cousin went to the auction. I said, they would probably charge $20,000 for a toothpick, so obviously I wasn't going. But anyway, she went, and she bought me a book, the book of all the itemized things that once were Marilyn Monroe's. And in the book, I forget what page, was the ring she married Joe DiMaggio. And it was a platinum ring, a white platinum ring with, they called it eternal something or other. There were diamonds all the way around, and there was one stone missing when they sold it at the auction.
That's
and
crazy.
And it was said, it's really true, too. And it was said that at the end of her life, she was contemplating marrying Joe DiMaggio again. That was one of the things that were said about at the end of her life. She was contemplating marrying him again. She was certainly in touch with him, and they were certainly still very close. So he would have known that that ring was still in her possession, but had one stone missing. Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating when you do get a message like that. And you're not allowed to give it, yeah. Right? You're told to hold off on it.
Well, it's not only that, and my husband has concern about that because, you know, it's nothing for me to have somebody's soul try to get me. We were on vacation one time in Italy, my husband and I, and we were on a tour, which I hate taking tours, and it was my first and only tour. But anyway, so we're on this tour, and it seems like every time we went out, you know, if you've ever gone on a tour, they take you one place one day, you can choose to go. So that's what we were doing. So one day we're in Florence, we took, you know, the little van, they take you there. Next day we went to Lucca, but there was like 80 people on this tour. So, you know, the odds of running into the same people were pretty slim to none unless they went on the tour with you, you know, to where you were going. But anyway, every time John and I would go somewhere, this husband and wife, if we sat at a little cafe, they would, for some reason I turn around, they'd be sitting right there. We went to a restaurant to have lunch. We turn around, they're in the same restaurant. Now, keep in mind, we're traveling all over on this. It's hard to explain. But anyway, so I heard their son. He kept telling me, please, please tell my parents. Tell them I'm here, please. I want them to know. And he kept telling me. So I started to tell my husband, oh, my God, this boy's passed away. That's his parents over there. So every time we'd go somewhere, I'd say to my husband, I'd say, look, here they are again. They would always be within 5 feet of me. You know what I'm saying? Because he kept making them be with me, hoping I would approach them. But my husband is always afraid. Somebody doesn't want your help, Conchetta. If they don't want your help, don't ask because it could cause a problem and I'm going to have to get in a fight and blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, on the last day of the tour, we're in the breakfast hall where there's like, I think there's more than 100 people. And we're all having breakfast. And then we're to get on these vans, whatever, that'll take us to the airport. Anyway, so long story short, somebody recognized me, and then the word traveled around the breakfast hall like the telephone game. You literally could see the energy travel around the room till it hit these parents who were told, you know who's over there? Her name is Conchetta Bertoldi. She's a medium, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I turn around and I went, oh my God, John, look. The husband and my wife were talking to each other. Next thing I know, I see them both stand up and they start walking towards me. And I knew they were coming right to me. Their son was not going to let them go without letting me talk to them. So they walked up to me. They said, excuse me, are you Conchetta Bertoldi? So, of course, I said, yes, I am. And I stood up and they said, we're really sorry to bother you, but we went to see John Edwards. And I said, don't say any more. I'm going to tell you. You didn't realize that you kept seeing us. We were in Florence. We were in Lucca. I said, every time I turn around, you don't realize we were sitting 5 feet from you? And they were like, no, we didn't even notice that. I said, okay, well, the reason I know that is because your son, David, has been with me this entire trip I've been here, and he wants me to talk to you. And I started to tell him all the information the boy had told me for the whole week we were on vacation, wanting me to tell their parents. Well, they were hysterical crying. They wrote me the most beautiful letter when they got home. And the thing that happened after that is the reason why I don't just walk up to people. The minute the whole hall saw what was watching, what was happening, I got bombarded like Elvis Presley would. They started coming after me. Oh, Conchetta, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And that's what happens. So then, of course, it's hard for me because I feel very sorry for everyone and I want to help everyone. And I can't get out of the room. Because now everybody's like pulling at me saying, please, 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 please. And I'm trying to go pack and get on the van. I'm going home too. But that is the kind of situation you run into with this type of a thing.
Do you ever find days where it's just overwhelming and you're like, you know what? I wish this would just, I wish I had a month or two without this gift so I could just, you know, kind of take a break from it. I've got to guess, even though you bring a lot of joy and peace to people, it's got to be a little bit overwhelming because how could you not absorb their feelings and emotions as well doing this?
Well, to answer your question, is absolutely true. And very few people have made that observation. So that's very intelligent on your part. Well, let me just tell you that when I was 16 years old, it was when I wrote about this too. I was in home. I had great parents. I was an only girl, two brothers. But anyway, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was many, 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 many souls around my room. And they were all telling me I was basically, they were asking, recruiting me, if you will, to please help them. They would help me. I got so petrified because I had heard dead people all my life. But this was different. This was meaning I was being hired. So now I was like, I couldn't move. I was petrified. I was screaming in the middle of the night for my father and mother who came rushing into my bedroom, turned on the light. And I was like, did you see them, Dad? Do you hear them? Do you smell the flowers? I mean, it was just really crazy. And my father said to me at that moment, listen, you have power over this. If you do not want to hear them anymore, all you have to do is say in the name of God, no. Anyway, long story short, I said it over and over about a trillion times. No, no, no. In the name of God, no, no, no. Because I was 16 years old. All I wanted to do was put lipstick on, put a tight pair of jeans on, and go out and look for cute boys. That's all I wanted to do. I wasn't interested in listening for dead folks and passing messages on. So, and I certainly didn't want to tell my friends at that age in my life that I heard dead people. I didn't want to lose friends. So immediately they left me alone. And they left me alone for, I would say, maybe 4 years. And one day I was dating this boy who was a municipal bond salesman. He was about 7 years older than me, actually. And he told me about a man named Edgar Casey. And I started to read about Edgar Casey because there wasn't very much in the libraries on this subject. So, you know, to find anything and learn in any way what was happening to me, I could only go by what my father was telling me. So now I had Edgar Casey, I was reading. And as I was reading, all this started coming back to me. It just started because my mind started to open up to the possibilities. And this boy I was dating, who was a municipal bond salesman, started to notice. He was very smart. And he started to ask me things, you know, and I started to really learn early that this ability cannot be used for horse racing, you know, and municipal bond salesmen, so to speak. But anyway, long story short, it started to come back slowly but surely. But it came back only at my request. I kept saying, okay, okay, okay. And so before you knew it, I was doing very well as a medium. But it wasn't until my brother died that my brother said to me, and that is how I went public, please help us. If you agree, all you have to do is say yes. We'll take it from there. If you just say yes, we'll take it from there. So yes, I did finally say yes to my brother because I didn't expect much to happen. Of course, I was very wrong about that. And then it was like a window opened up and a windstorm came in. But getting back to your question, yes, it is sometimes very overwhelming. And you realize that when you are using this, when I'm using this ability, it doesn't look like anything. It just looks easy. It looks very easy. But the truth is, because I'm just talking, the truth is I'm generating and using energy in my own body, which is very taxing on my organs. So now, especially now at this age, I really have to monitor how much I do. And because I could, at one point in my life, I almost had a breakdown from exhaustion. Physical exhaustion, because I was just using way too much, doing way too much. So I had to learn. Now I do pace myself. I know now too how to cleanse it. I know how to prepare to open myself up for this. And I also know how to call the protection I very desperately need when I am using this ability, that nothing ugly penetrates and has any kind of power over anything I'm doing. I've learned so much more so I can be healthy and still do what I love.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad that you're able to find that balance. What suggestions would you have, Conchetta, for people that are out there that have this ability but aren't sure how to control it or sure how to utilize it or maybe are even afraid of it?
Well, to be honest with you, Dave, everybody has this ability. I mean, you yourself said yourself many years ago you were a skeptic and you've opened your mind. It's a question of opening your mind, trusting, believing, embracing. But the most important thing I would tell everyone anywhere is to just have faith in God and realize that God is your ally and that is your protection always. And as long as you call God and you call God into your protective realm, you will be safe, but you will only be given what you can handle. They're not going to give you anything you cannot handle. If you say no, they respect it. But we all hear them. We all have things where we say, oh, my God, you're not going to believe what just happened. I was just thinking about you and the phone rang. Or they're going to say, I don't know. My son was in the other room. He was fine. He was sitting there. But something just told me to go in there, and the cord was wrapped around. You have to realize all of us, every one of us, has senses and has these senses. So don't be afraid. Call God. If you want more, they will give you more. You just have to know that it'll always serve you well if you trust God. I just want your folks to know, I don't care what religion you are. I really don't. Just have faith. That's all. Just have faith that God is great. God is real. That's my favorite part of my work. That's my favorite part, you know, of my work, is knowing that God is with me. I could tell you stories if you had time. I do write about them. They're in my books. But I tell the truth. If you knew and saw some of the things I've seen, it would blow your mind. I mean, it's mind-blowing, really. But it's all true. So this place I am right now, we are right now, this is Camp Earth. That place to which we go, to which we came from, that's really home. This isn't home. This is a temporary place.
I like it. That's great. It's good for people to know and understand that. When we move on from this lifetime, Conchetta, Yeah. I've heard many people talk about the fact that those people are still leading a life. Are they in a heaven? Are they on another plane of existence leading a life just like we're leading right now? And are they always fully aware that they're dead there, or they're dead here, but they've got a new life there?
Oh, yes. They're well aware. I said to you before, and I'll say it again, we're very limited here. We have such a small amount of our... They always say, scientists will tell you how little of our brain we even use. But we are so limited. But where we go from here, we are no longer limited. And I say, this is the way I say it. When we die, we get a knowing. All things are known to us. Yes, we are in a place that we are continuing and to live. In terms of how it goes, I don't know, but I know that whatever we are here on earth, we are the same way if you were to put a child in, this is easy to hear. If you go to school and you get a kindergarten education, or you get a fifth grade education, or maybe some people go to eighth grade only, or some people go to college only, some people get master's degrees. Well, that's how I look at the soul. We are all on different levels of growth. And where we have gotten in terms of our education spiritually. And when we die, we are brought to the other side with that amount of education or spiritual growth, if you will. And then we are met by, from what I understand, nothing but love and unconditional forgiveness and kindness. And there's so many things I understand happen to us. We forgive very easily. We love so intensely, but that's because where we go from here, that's what's given to us. We are given that joy. That's why I say the souls that are discarnate or wandering the earth, they do not realize the love that is waiting for them. They get scared and they get stuck in whatever sins they may have committed, and they're afraid. I say to everyone, don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid. Because there are masters, spirit masters. There are so many hierarchy angels. For whatever our reasons that we are upset about, we might have done this wrong, that wrong, whatever. There's someone there who will help you and always be there to comfort you and show you nothing but love. So, yes, we do continue to live, but I don't believe it's the same kind of living that there is here. I mean, I don't think we drive cars. I think we can get anywhere we want just in energy form. I don't think we need food, but I think we remember what food was when we were here. But it's not the same. We don't carry over there 50 pounds overweight. I mean, it's just something that it's not a complete understanding to me. I just understand enough to know that we are going to a place that we will never be unhappy that we went to. And everyone we've ever loved, everyone we ever had in our life will be known to us again, and we will rejoice in knowing and seeing them again.
I like to hear that. Very comforting. You've written how many books now total?
This one is my fourth, the one that the ghost. I affectionately refer to my books as Shower.
Okay.
The second one was Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? So we call it Dogs. And the next one was Inside the Other Side. So we just call it Inside. And this one I call Ghost because it's I Kissed a Ghost and I liked it. But this was my fourth book.
Well, if you don't mind, I always like having a nice light day as well. If we just kind of... You know, if you could cherry pick one story from each book to share with us as we head out today, one of your favorites, whether it's heartwarming or funny, starting with your first book that we discussed, do dead people watch you shower? What's one of your favorite stories from that book?
Well, you know, there are many, but I think I'll pick this one only because it was my husband's favorite. You know, it was one of my first shows that I had ever done where we had an audience, and I was very nervous because I had never done it in public, a forum like this. And there was a woman in the audience, and And my husband, who I told you was always an atheist, he watched this from the sidelines, and he recites this story. There was a woman stood up, and she was very attractive. You couldn't imagine who she could have lost. And I always start out by saying, tell me your name and who you're looking for, because there's so many souls in the room. But that's all I ask. So she said her name. My name is, let's just say, Sally Smith. Okay, who are you looking for? I'm looking for, let's just say, Joe. Okay, fine. So now I'm listening. So immediately I see the Twin Towers. I see the towers come down, and I know he died, and I know it's her husband. Then he starts telling me about her three sons, and he's telling me all this information, who by now she is crying. And I say to her, listen, he's saying something that I have no idea what it means. I don't know what sense it could possibly mean, but whatever I hear, I say, because people will sometimes even go home and figure it out. So I'm not afraid. So I said to her, it looks to me, and he's referring it almost to a fish table, and he's smiling with a big smile, and he's saying, you could do whatever you want with the fish table. So now the woman, who is all choked up, all emotional, starts laughing. And she said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I have no idea. And the audience is like, oh, what could she possibly be saying this for, right? Well, she explained that when he was alive, he was an avid fisherman. And he had a coffee table. And on the coffee table, he had all these pictures of fish that he laminated on the table. And he loved this table, because it was his pride and joy. And she hated it. She didn't want it in her home. She didn't want it in any room. And she said they used to always argue about it, because there was really no place she felt it could fit in. And now she said, this fish table, she said when she looks at it, she thinks of him. And now he was telling her she could get rid of the fish table. Well, to my husband, that was huge. He thought, oh, my God, because he knows me. How would I know that? Where would that come from? So that was a turning point for John. He just said, and that's one of his favorite stories to tell from the first book.
That's very cool. Right. And I mean, you're tapping into something that, you know, there is no way that you would be able to understand. And here you're grasping this information. Your other book, Inside the Other Side, Soul Contracts, Life Lessons, What's one of your favorite stories you can relate to us from that book? And we have links up to these books, folks. If you go to darknessradio.com and click on our shop, go into the Amazon shop we've got there. We put all of these books into our Amazon shop so that you can find them easily accessible right there. There's a link for her brand new book on today's podcast listing and information, so you can find it there as well. But Inside the Other Side, what's one of your favorite stories out of that one?
Okay, so Dave, I'm going to have to say, I'm not sure if this is from that one or Dogs, but it's one of my favorites. This is one of my favorites, but I think it's from Inside the Other Side. There was a gentleman who was told to come to me by his friends because his wife had died, and he didn't believe in me at all. And he came here, you know, very reluctantly, but he said, all right, I'll give it a try. Now, today, I will tell you, if someone walks in my house with that type of attitude, I always feel bad, but I say to them, listen, I'd really rather not do that. I don't want anybody hurt my feelings. At this stage of my life, I don't like people to come here and say to me, give me the combination to the safe or I won't believe you. But
right.
That just hurts my feelings. So I just don't do that anymore. But this man came. He was very sad. I had no idea why he was sad. You know, when somebody walks in the door, you don't know if their mother died, their kid died, wife, whatever. And even if it's a dog that died, you know. But anyway, so this man walks in, and I'm doing what I do, and he's listening and listening with no reaction, whether he's impressed, whether he's not, whether he's happy, nothing, not sad, not anything. And I'm saying to him, at the end, finally I was done, I said to him, you know, as I always say, I hope this helps you. I hope this gives you peace. And he got up and he said, Conchetta, you're a very nice lady, and you did say a lot of things that made sense, and I really want to thank you. But that was it. And I said, okay, maybe that's just his personality, right? So he's walking out the door, but as he's walking down the stairs out of my office, I forget the man's name now, but I said to him, sir, he said, yes. I go, can you please tell me why? Because I knew his wife had died. That was the other thing. I knew his wife had died, and she had given him information. I said, but can you tell me why she told me to show you this? and I put up my hands. You know, the sign of praying hands? You know, praying hands?
Right, of course.
Okay. So he looked at me, and he turned white. He walked back up my stairs, and he said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Why is your wife telling me to show you this?" And I made again the praying hands. He said, "Conchetta, I can't." And now, this is a man who was non-emotional for the whole time. He like goes, "I can't believe you just did that, Conchetta. I can't believe it." He said, "Before I came here, I went to the cemetery and I went to my wife's grave where on her tombstone I had the praying hands put." He said, "But that's not all." He said, "I've met a woman who's been very kind to me. In fact, I have to say I might even love her. And I'm so afraid that my wife would be mad at me because I'm comforted by this woman." And I said to her, "If you can tell me..." Oh, and then he went to the deli to get a coffee. And in the deli, there was next to the cash register pens. And then the pens that were there had the praying hands at the end of the pens. He bought the pen because it had the praying hands on it. He put it in his jacket pocket on the inside. And he said, "If you can really be there today, and if you tell me that it's okay that I have this person and that it's okay that I care for her and that she comforts me, please mention this." And he bought the pen and he put it in his pocket, right? So all he tells me this. Now he opens up his jacket, puts his hand in his jacket pocket inside, and pulls out the pen with the praying hands. That was one of my favorites.
That's beautiful.
Very cool. Because he was a beautiful man, and she was desperately telling him she never wanted him to be lonely and that no matter what, nothing would ever change his love for her or her love for his. But it is out of unconditional love she would wish for him to have peace while he's here on earth and to be loved and give love.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Very cool. All right. As we're wrapping up, we've got one more book to dip into. Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? I've got to understand, where did that title come from, and what's one of your favorite stories from that book?
Well, I'm going to be very honest about it. HarperCollins, who was my publisher for that book, my first book became a New York Times bestseller, and it's now in like 14 languages, something like that, around the world. So they were so happy with it that they asked me to write a sequel immediately. And they wanted me to write Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs because they felt so many people are so attached to their animals. Now, listen, I don't have a problem with that because I'm a huge animal lover. Huge, okay? But that wouldn't have been my choice. But they asked me, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I said, okay. So that's how that book came to be. A lot of it has animal test, you know, stories about people and their animals and whatnot. But so this is one that I think you might enjoy. There was a woman whose husband died, and she came to my office and she told me her husband died. But she said the dog was his favorite, you know, that was his joy. They had a dog. So she said she was sitting on the couch and the dog was sitting on the couch next to her. And for some reason, she was watching TV. The light in the kitchen just went on. She said, "You know, it's for some people that might be enough, but for me it wasn't. I got up, I went in the kitchen, I turned the light off. I figured, it just went on. Who knows why?" She went back to sit on the couch, but the dog by then had jumped off the couch and was staring at her. So now she's sitting there watching TV. She said the dog turned around. And now the dog sat down as though the dog were basically watching TV. So again, not unusual. She said, but there was something about the energy. She just looked at the dog. And then all of a sudden, the dog lifted his left paw and held the paw up. And the paw moved like it was being shaken. Like, you know, when you say to a dog, "Give me your paw." And then the dog shook his left paw, right? She said, and then she said, if that wasn't enough, all of a sudden that dog put his paw down and the right paw went up. And then the right paw went up and down. So as if somebody went, okay, now give me this paw. If you've ever had animals, you'll understand this. But then she said the dog then put the both paws down, turned around, looked at her, almost as if to say, "You see him too, right?" And then jumped up on the couch and put his, the dog put his head on the lady's lap.
And she said, Conchetta, I just need to know. I really believe it was my husband because my husband used to do that to the dog all the time. Give me your paw. Okay, now give me the other paw. And this is what the dog did.
That's cool. That's very
cool. Then I said to her, honey, this is what I said to everybody. Do you really need me to tell you? But if you do, it's okay. It's with my pleasure that I answer. Just trust yourself. Of course it was him. And of course your dog saw him. Animals have that sense. Animals are life created by God. They are gifts from God. And they should be treated as such.
Amen. Conchetta, it's always great catching up with you. Hopefully it won't be another 6, 7, 8 years between visits. We'll have to get you back more often. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights. The book is called I Kissed a Ghost and I Liked It, a Jersey Girls reality show with dead people. Conchetta Bertoldi, there's a link for her website. There is a link for this book on today's program. And Conchetta, have a great and satisfying, fulfilling 2020. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, my darling. Happy New Year to you both, my darling.
A happy New Year to you as well. All right, that's it for this week, folks. We will be back again Tuesday with another brand new edition of True Crime Tuesday. If you haven't already subscribed, get off your ass and go subscribe. You can find information at darknessradio.com. If you love our show, you're going to love True Crime Tuesday, just an extension of this program. And by supporting that program, subscribing to that program for only $5 a month, you're going to help support this program and keep it on the air as well. Remember, we've got some big news coming up for all of our shows sometime in the next 30 to 60 days. So make sure you keep checking our website, darknessradio.com, for updates. And we want to hear from you. Remember, when we do our Parashare and Supernatural News segments, we love to hear you tell your stories of paranormal encounters. Funny, scary, weird, whatever you want to share with us, 651-300-4977. 651-300-4977. Dave, how the hell am I going to remember that? You don't have to. Just go to our website, darknessradio.com. Our phone number is there. And for those of you that have asked where you can send cards and letters and ways to communicate with us, you can reach us at Darkness Radio, and then attention to whichever one of us you want to talk to, Dave or Tim. And then P.O. Box 22321, Egan, Minnesota. That's E-A-G-A-N, Minnesota, 55122. That's the best way to reach out to us. From Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader, wish us luck as we cruise through the Bermuda Triangle this week. We'll have brand new episodes for you next weekend right here on Beyond the Darkness.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.